listeners, how are you today? Hope you are good and that you are looking forward to today's episode of The Balanced Mind. Now today we are opening up a conversation about something we all do, but almost all of us hate, and that is making mistakes. But I want to challenge you how you look at those mistakes, because the truth is, not all mistakes are created equal. Some mistakes are completely fine. In fact, they are exactly what you need to move forward. I call these the okay mistakes, or your practice runs. Before we dive into the science, I want you to take a deep breath and hear me out on this. It is completely fine to make mistakes. It really is. Somewhere along the line, we picked up this heavy belief that getting something wrong makes us flawed, or that we should have known better. But human beings do not come from an instruction manual. We cannot figure out how to live our lives perfectly without getting a few things wrong along the way. Making mistakes does not mean you are failing. It means you are living. You are trying and you're figuring things out. Think about a toddler learning to walk. They take two shaky steps, they lose their balance, and plop, right down onto the carpet. What do we do when we see that? We don't get cross with them and cross our arms, look down to them and say, you know what? Well, you are a big, massive failure. You should probably just give up on the whole walking thing. No, of course not. We smile, we cheer, and we tell them to get right back up. We know that falling down is simply a price of admission of learning how to stand. It is okay for the toddler to fall. It is okay for you to stumble too. You're just a human being, you're not perfect. Yet when we try something new as adults, whether it's testing out a new morning routine, learning a new hobby, or launching a basic project at work, we expect perfection on day one. And if we trip up or we fall, we instantly beat ourselves up. Famous brain research from the Stanford University actually proves how backwards this mindset is. Scientists found that our brains are actually incredibly flexible, but they only build new, stronger pathways when we push into things we don't know how to do yet. Another study, a feature from the Psychology Today, showed that the brain actually treats minor mistakes like a natural wake-up call. The error triggers a burst of attention that essentially tells the brain, you know what, hey, wake up, let's focus and let's solve this problem. In short, your brain is designed to learn by getting things wrong first. An okay mistake is any low-stakes error where the consequences are completely reversible and no one gets hurt. It is a messy first draft. It is an experimental recipe that tasted terrible. It is a new workout schedule that didn't fit your lifestyle. These are not personal failures. They are just data collection. They tell you exactly what not to do next time so you can adjust your plan. If you aren't making any small, messy mistakes right now, it usually means you are playing it way too safe to actually grow. You are staying firmly in your comfort zone. So how do we handle these practice runs? It takes three simple steps. Drop the self-criticism immediately. So when you make mistakes, don't go off on yourself saying, yeah, but you can't do it or you're not good enough to do it. No, drop that. But don't go into that in that zone. It's not healthy. And then look at the mistakes like an outside observer looking at the puzzle. That means to be objective towards your mistakes. You see, when we making mistakes, like I said, we criticize ourselves. But the moment we step back and we think, no, let me look at it objectively, we see the flaws, but yet we are gracious with ourselves and we can see what really went wrong and we can fix those mistakes. The third one is ask yourself, what single piece of information did this error just give me? In other words, when you're objective and you look at your mistakes, ask yourself, okay, what led up to this mistake? What did I do wrong with this mistake? And you know what? Have a little conversation with yourself. Say, okay, so when I baked this cake, I forgot the rising powder. Easy to mistake. Or it's maybe flat or falling apart because you didn't put enough eggs into the recipe. But that doesn't make the cake you're baking all flop. It just means it didn't bind. And so we can look at what went wrong, being objective. And then whenever you bake a cake again, then you can see, oh, wait, last time I forgot ABC. Let me put that in first. And then you've learned how to bake the perfect cake. Because you're asking yourself, what did I miss? It is good to ask yourself that question. What did I miss? Because you must also remember to give yourself permission to be a beginner. A great chef, a pastry chef, doesn't just wake up one morning as someone who has no knowledge about the kitchen or reading a recipe correct or anything like that. The great pastry chef tried and failed, tried and failed. You know what, how many chefs, good chefs, misunderstood a recipe, making something nice, because it happens. So you must be gracious to yourself, like I said, because as a beginner in whatever you're trying to do, you're gonna fail. It's actually a guarantee, but feeling bad about it and criticizing yourself about it, that is not a guarantee. what is more than trustworthy is grace. Feeling gracious towards yourself and saying to yourself, okay, you didn't make it completely right, let's try again. I remember when I did, when I tutored a grade 11 boy, and we did some mathematics and also study work, and then once he had something wrong, I told him, okay, so try again, this is not the right answer. Try again. I had actually 3 highlighters. I had a pink one for answer wrong, and I have a yellow one for the right answer, but I have a green highlighter. If I just make a full stop on the page, that means you need to think again. And it's incredible how his mind, whenever he sees a green dot, how his mind thinks. Because I was there to tell him, you're not doing anything bad or wrong, I just want you to look again. And that helped him grow. When we studied as well, that was really very important at study work, because when he had an answer wrong and I lift up my green pen, the one that says, think again, he actually thought about it and then he came up with the right answer. So I allowed him to make mistakes because he's in safe space. Talking about safe spaces, we are going to talk a bit more about those spaces. When we feel rushed, our brain defaults to fast, impulsive shortcuts. You stop looking at reality and start looking at what you wish was true. In short, urgency is the enemy of a good judgment. The faster you try to force a major choice, the more likely you are to make an expensive mistake. If you have already made one of these mistakes, please hear me. Stop punishing yourself. It happens. But to prevent the next one, you need a circuit breaker. You need a way to slow the train of thoughts down before it goes off the tracks. The next time you are about to make a big decision, you feel that anxious, rushed energy in your chest. I want you to apply these 3 rules. Very important. Enforce a mandatory 24-hour pause before saying yes or signing anything. So, when you're about to buy a car, or you sign a contract binding you for a period, doesn't matter how long, a month, 6 months, or a year, before you pick up that pen, put it down and say, give me 24 hours to think about. No one is rushing you. Because in that 24 hours, you're going to think about it. And you're going to clear the emotions. And you'll say, okay, well, let's look at this realistically. Is this a good thing? And where will it impact my life? Or even impact the lives of your loved ones? Secondly, separate temporarily the feelings from the heart, unvarnished facts of the situation. In other words, like I said, you take the emotion out of it and you look at it with a sober mind where emotion don't clutter your decision. And then find one person who has no skin in the game. In other words, find an objective person to talk to you about what you, or rather, the person doesn't talk to you, but you talk to them and say, so I'm about to buy this very expensive car and I'm not sure and I feel mixed emotions. Then the other person can say, okay, let's look at it from my point of view. And the person can ask you certain questions. Let me give you an example to make it easy to understand. My best friend and I, we have a relationship like that. When, before we make a choice, we talk to one another. And especially me to him, I would say to him, listen, I'm about to sign something or do something or be involved in a project that I'm not sure of. And then he is actually a strategic manager. So his strategy is good for me because he can see where this choice can end up with strategically. And so you can say, Dion, can you afford it? Dion, do you know that if you do this decision, it will influence this A, B, and C of your life? And are you willing to give it up for this decision? And how important is it for you to make this decision now? He once bought a car, and the car wasn't running, and someone said to him, no, they'll fix it up and they can sell it. But we talked, and I said, but what type of car is it? And he told me, and I knew from experience that this type of car is very hard to fix in South Africa because it comes from another country, and getting parts in can take long. It's very expensive. And I told him, okay, if you do this, you know you're going to spend a lot of money. And I can spell it out to him what he can be expected. We also do the same between me and him when it comes to relationships. Because in his relationship with his wife, he had a difficult marriage. And then as a counselor, I tell him, okay, if you do this, the person might react like this. And I tell him what he can expect. And many times, he said, okay, you know what, it happened just exactly like you said, but I was prepared for it and I was fine with it. Because he knew what the choices he made, the consequences of a choice is good or bad. So talking to someone about it is really one of the best ways to not make a mistake. It's especially also when you want to go to court and you want to take someone to court. Sometimes it can be a mistake. And even though our emotions tell us it's not a mistake to take this person to court, but that is because we feel and we think about our emotions and how we feel about the situation. Now, that can be costly. And this is where the financial costs come in. Because now your decision and your mistake can cost you quite a lot money-wise, because the thing is, it can cost you a lot of lawyers and court cases. It costs a lot of money. And when you think about it, you only take this person to court based on feelings, not on facts. And then it can drain your energy and your financial resources. So, no. First, take out the the emotion from the situation. Take the time to think about something before you make a major mandatory mistake. And obviously, again, find someone you can trust. I always say that you bounce off an idea from someone. And in my counseling practice, that happens quite a lot. And they say, "But I want to do this to this person, or I want to say this." Then in a counseling practice, we say, "No, but if you do this, though it might have negative repercussions on your life." And that's also important to talk to a counselor and say, "Okay, yes." It's also like when you talk to a lawyer, right? You want to take someone to court, but the lawyer says, "You know what, you don't actually have a case." But the emotion tells you, "But I do have a case," because the emotion is so strong and convincing, and then you end up losing everything you have. That is bad. So just look out for that, people. Look out for that. Remember, force a waiting period before you make a major decision. Separate your feelings and then find one objective person that you can bounce off to the idea before you go into making a big mistake. So, why don't you take your time right now and think about a decision you maybe made or is about to make, where emotion is the main influencer in your decision, and that can lead to a mistake. So far, we've looked at the mistakes we can see. We talked about the messy practice runs that help us grow, and we talked about the expensive choices we make when we are rushed. But there is a third type of mistake that is much harder to spot. It doesn't make a loud mess. It doesn't leave an immediate bill in your mailbox. I call this the invincible mistake. The invincible mistake is the price of doing absolutely nothing. It is choosing comfort over courage. It is staying in a soul-crushing job because it feels safe. It is keeping quiet when you know you should speak up, just to avoid an awkward conversation. It is putting off your goals, your health, and your passions until tomorrow. You know, "No, I'll do it tomorrow, I'll do it next week, I'll focus on me a bit later." Except, tomorrow never actually comes. In the moment, doing nothing feels incredibly safe. Nothing breaks, no one gets mad, and you don't have to risk failing. But over time, playing it safe carries a hidden compounding cost. A famous landmark study from Cornell University looked deeply into how human beings process regret over their lifetimes. The researchers discovered something fascinating. In the short term, we tend to feel bad about things we did do, like an embarrassing comment or a bad purchase. But in the long run, a massive 72% of people said the deepest, most painful regrets were about the things they did not do. They regretted the path they didn't take, the risk they didn't run, and the dreams that let slip away. Articles featured in Psychology Today echo this finding. When we fail to act, our brains don't get any closure. A bad action gives us a concrete result we can learn from and fix. But inaction leaves us with a ghost. It leaves us with the haunting question of what ifs. We have to realize that deciding not to choose is still a choice. Choosing to stay stuck in an active decision compromise on your own life. If you realize you have been making this invincible mistake, you don't need to make a massive, terrifying leap tomorrow. You just need to break the paralysis. You can do this by focusing on three small actions. Number one, identifying one area in your life where you are staying stuck purely out of fear. And we will discuss that now. Number two, acknowledging the hidden cost that staying still is costing your happiness and your true future. Take one tiny, imperfect action within the next 24 hours to move a little bit forward to what you want. So let's quickly discuss these 3 points. So the first one is identify one area in your life where you are stuck purely out of fear. Now, this is like you look at the job that you really, really want to do. Like, I'm gonna use an example. When you look at events managing or events logistics, maybe you like the way you work and how the people in the industry work. They're always on the move. They think ahead. They think into every minor detail. And then you think, but you know what? I want to do that and I'll be good at that. But then you keep back and you say, no, you know what? No, I don't have any experience. Or I don't know really what I'm doing when I would run events. Something might go wrong. Something might caught fire due to a candle. And then everything is my fault. And then I would go to court. And I have been responsible for burning down the building. I'll be the cause for this event not to be a success. But you know what? You're thinking way too much about it if you're in that train of thought. You haven't even tried it. You haven't even researched it. I would say, or I would ask, did you try to volunteer at the event? Say, a big fun run. Those are probably one of the most common events. Volunteer and say, I want to learn. I want to learn. You know, that can be taking one tiny step forward where you say, okay, there's a fun run this weekend or next month. I want to be involved. I just want to do something because I want to gain experience. Now, that's the good thing. It's a good thing because you're not in charge. You are only participating as a volunteer, learning how things work, learning how events work. Because you'll be included with the meetings, because you have to know what's going on. And maybe they'll say, okay, we need a volunteer to help with the the entries, and you can say, yes, I'm good with people. Let's, can I be there? Or you can say, no, I'll volunteer to clean up everything afterwards. That's fine. You're taking a one tiny step towards what you want. So let's look at acknowledging the hidden cost that staying still is costing. What if you keep on staying still? Because for years you want to be part of an event, you want to be into event coordination or event planning, but now because for the last 10 or 15 years, even 20 years, it's only been a thought. And the thing is, within that 20 years, there was at least 10 events we could have participated in as a volunteer. But because you're thinking, no, I won't be able to do it, then you're missing the opportunities. And you're paying a hidden cost. Think about it. If you knew about 10 events that you didn't volunteer at, that's 10 events where you could have had experience in running an event or participating in an event. So that is your cost that you're paying, because that experience you can't get back. And that can be your silent hidden cost of staying still. And then also you realize, I'm not happy. But I will be happy if I can just try and be a part of an event. Say you did do 10 events, you volunteered, and you're still going and saying, yes, I love this. How happy do you think you are? If you don't enjoy your work, at least you volunteer somewhere where you can actually enjoy yourself. And why not go on and be a manager of an event, a team leader, and you can grow. But you're withholding yourself from that because you say, no, don't do this. And so your cost that you're paying is towards yourself, because you're keeping yourself away from it. Why do you want to do it? Why don't you just go on and see if it's really for you? You see, a failed attempt gives you data and strength. Those 10 events, say you did do it, it gives you data and strength because it's something you can do. But doing nothing only gives you a lifetime of wondering what could have been. Choose the discomfort of growth over the quiet ache of regret. Number 2, the expensive mistakes. These are the heavy mistakes that drain your time, money, or emotional energy. Grounded in decision-making studies from Psychology Today, we learned that these happen when we let speed and raw emotion hijack our logic. To stop them, we have to hit the brakes. Separate your temporary feelings from the facts and enforce a 24-hour pause. This is also where we can talk to a friend. We can bounce off our ideas on what our ideas, but also our decisions, not to make a mistake. Then we have the invincible mistake. This is the silent error of doing absolutely nothing. As the landmark studies from Cornell University proved, a massive 72% of lifelong regrets stem from the things we did not do. Choosing comfort over courage leave you with a ghost. Greater paralysis by taking one tiny, imperfect step forward. But if you're sitting there and listen to this podcast and you feel you have a mistake right now, you made a mistake in your life, and the mistake worries you, whether you are dealing with a heavy financial choice, feeling stuck in inaction, or just trying to navigate the messy process of personal growth, you do not have to carry the weight alone. Real growth happens in a supportive, judgment-free space. And that is what I do in my practice. Whenever you come to me and you say, but Dion, I made a mistake and I don't know how to rectify it. When you spend time with me, there is no judgment. But I listen to what you have to say. You know, talking to someone about it, yes, we talked about it, about a friend, but a counselor, talking to it as a counselor, you won't get judgments. And remember that in a counselor practice, it's all about safety. I cannot go into the world and tell everyone I know about your mistake. That is not what counselors do. We help you to work with your mistake. We help you to process the mistake so that it doesn't happen. And we can actually help you put a boundary there and pivot from that mistake. Learn from it. That is why counselors is there. Please remember, when you go to a counselor, or when you come to me as a counselor, real growth will happen in a supportive, non-judgment space, or judgment-free space. Why not connect with me? I am a professional, holistic counselor. You can contact me on the phone number 061-588. You can contact me on 061-588-0651. Or you can just go to the Dion Bicycle page on Facebook and leave me a message there. I would love to chat and help you. Because let's chat. Let's unpack the chaos and help you find clarity to move forward. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Balanced Mind today. Be gentle with your mistakes. Give yourself permission to be a beginner and remember to protect your peace. Until next week, take care and keep balancing your mind.